Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and returning from Boston is Dan the Man. So if you'd like to call into the podcast and ask Dan how that was, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know by now the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. But there is content added throughout the week that you should go over there and check out and see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 D's.
All right, so before we get rolling on too much, I want to jump in. I know Mr. Fantasy had a bit of a rough night last night giving you FanDuel advice, but he did send me, well, I guess technically you could call it two lineups tonight. He actually sent me the exact same lineup with two different pitchers. So here's the first lineup he sent me. It has Wei-Ying Chen as his pitcher, Wellington Castillo at catcher, Chris Davis at first, Jose Peraza at second, Manny Machado at third, Brandon Crawford at short, and then the outfield is Adam Duvall, Billy Hamilton, and Giancarlo Stanton. Now, he also has the exact same lineup with Jason Vargas as the pitcher. So basically, you're looking at Chen and Vargas on the mound. Then it's Castillo at catcher, Davis at first, Peraza at second, Machado at third, Crawford at short, and the outfield is Duvall, Hamilton, and Stanton. So there you go.
What do you think of the lineup?
Well, I hope they work out because I decided this is the first time I ever did it with his lineup. I put a dollar on each to see if he could win me some money. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, yesterday his best lineup had 119.3 points, and then he had a lineup that really struggled and only scored 83.3. But even he had talked to me after we went, you know, off the air yesterday. After Stu and I went off the air, he called me. Mr. Fantasy called me a little later, and even he was wondering about, you know, the pitchers that his new system had told him to use. You know, he's got this new sabermetric system or however you want to look at it, and he's following it by the book, and it gave him a couple bad pitchers, I think, last night, and that's what ended up costing him.
Well, when you go by the book, right?
Yeah, well, you know, it had been working for him. You know, he had some success early in the week, and I mean, when you're winning, you want to keep going with it. You know, I didn't do much better today. The lineup I put in had 89 points, so I didn't do any better than he did. But yeah, it was a weird pitching night as it was. So you know, it was tough to kind of land on that guy, and you know, just his couple picks didn't work out. And I know I didn't say it while we were doing the lineups, but of course his lineups are for the 705 main roster, which means you got about 30 minutes to get your lineup in there. So, you know, we'll see how that works. But yeah, I'm hoping to have a little better luck. I'm going back to my strategy of last year, where for some reason I do better in when there's less games to pick. So there's an 8:15 late night league that I'm going to build a lineup for here probably when you and I get done. And, you know, we'll see how that goes and if that helps me out. But, you know, there are, of course, some interesting pitching choices. You know, Mr. Fantasy didn't do it, but you know, it's a Madison Bumgarner night for the Giants. He is facing the Rockies, who have a pretty good hitting lineup, but the game is in San Francisco. So, you know, it may not be a bad night to spend your money there. I understand why he went with Wei-Ying Chen. I saw that, I believe it's the last 13 innings against the Mets, Chen hasn't given up a run to them. So, you know, there are good and, you know, bad spots there. You know, Kevin Gausman's pitching for the Orioles tonight. The Blue Jays have really struggled, if you like that matchup. You know, it's Robert Getzelman for the Mets. He does pretty well. But, yeah, other than that, there's not a ton of, you know, huge starters out there. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are paying the $11,300 to get Bumgarner in their lineup.
Yeah.
You know, you can't blame them. Even against a good Colorado, you can't blame them. So. You know, we'll just have to see how it goes. But as you know from listening earlier in the week, Dan was on a vacation, so to speak. He got to go to Boston and take in a Red Sox game. So why don't you give us the overview? It seemed like you very much enjoyed it while we were coming onto the air. So why don't you let everybody know what you thought?
I mean, if that's your thing to go check out baseball parks, you definitely have to bump this one up to number one. Just know if you decide to go there and stay there, you're better off renting a car unless you're in the neighborhood, which I believe is Back Bay, because even though I was a 12-minute drive from my hotel to the park, it was actually a 40-minute public transportation ride. So go figure that one out. And, you know, with a baby and a 7 o'clock game, there was no way in hell we were walking the 3 or 4 miles from, from the hotel to the game. Nor did our hotel have a shuttle, which I was just kind of surprised by. But, you know, I mean, if you're going to go there, you need to go all out. Take the tour. It is definitely higher priced than when we went to Colorado, which I think Colorado was like $5 or $9. This one was $20. But, I mean, for a 2 o'clock on a Monday afternoon, there was 50-plus people to come to this tour. And they're only scheduled for an hour, but he ended up going over an hour and a half long. So, you know, we did get our money's worth. They get you in the beginning by setting you up in the souvenir store is where you wait. And then they take you through this archives thing where they've already taken your picture, printed it, and they offer you two options. You know, the big 8x10 for $33, or a 5x7 and two wallets with this little Fenway Park frame for $33, or you can get it all for just $40. And I figured we're never coming back there again, so I went with that. And I think the coolest part about it is, I mean, everyone says that Wrigley was a party, Wrigley Field. This is truly a party, and they've had it going on forever now. They closed down Yawkey Drive, which basically, I think, runs north and south. Your directions kind of get turned around when you're out there. But it goes from gate A to gate B, and the entire street is shut down. And the only way you can get in is if you have a ticket. They have food vendors all outside. When we got there, we wanted to check out the food. But unfortunately, they had a band playing in the middle. And, I mean, it was just crowded. So we decided to just go walk in and take a quick tour of the food, so to speak. And I ended up getting a child souvenir chicken tender basket because it came with a glove. It wasn't a real glove, but it was a glove made into a plate. And the one thing that stood out to me was a big jacket like this one. The souvenir sodas were refillable for free. So you don't get that anywhere. I don't really drink beer, and, you know, like I said, with a baby, it's rough. So I'm sure beer is probably like $9 or $10 a piece. You know, you're still looking at ballpark food prices. They're all expensive. You could park by the park for $55 or use Fat Hero and find somewhere cheaper and take a little walk to get there. But I mean, all in all, the experience there is 100 times better than watching a Boston Red Sox game on TV. I mean, you can hear a little bit, but when they scored, I mean, that place erupted. So, again, like I said, if your thing is the tour baseball park, this is an absolute must. The one thing that cracked me up was with one of the original owners as we're getting the tour. The whole reason the Green Monster started was because after the dead ball era, you know, there was a car dealer across the street. So they were getting in trouble for baseball hitting, you know, the cars. And then number two, which I just laugh, and you laugh because being here from Chicago, the owner put that wall up mainly because there was apartment buildings across the street, and people were on their rooftops watching the game for free. So that's why he put it up. You know, being from Chicago Cubs fan, we know all about the rooftops. So I thought that was a kind of a funny one that they knew from the start to, you know, mix that in the butt before it even happened. But, you know, I guess next week I'll go to a Cubs game on Tuesday and I'll give you the, you know, at the park at Wrigley now that they've done the expansion. And, you know, the one thing I just, it's so different from any ballpark now at Wrigley is the bullpen's underneath and you can't see the guys at all. I thought that was different watching the game the other night. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's different. That's why I feel like they need to just buy those streets, close them off, move the park, you know, the bleachers maybe back a little bit. I don't know. But it's completely different not seeing the bullpen on the side. I don't know. I guess they just have to get used to it. But the biggest thing I really wanted to talk about after going to a game live and, you know, after the changes Manfred made, Big Jack, the pace of players, you know, people who are trying to shorten the game or make it better. I'll just say it now, hands down, just a load of crap. They're never going to shorten the game. And I plan on checking out, you know, watching the times of every game for the entire season. I think I will stop that after this month. I'm going to compile them all together and kind of put together my own analytical report about it. But at the end of the day, you know, I don't know if you've seen it on TV, but so in between innings, there's the clock, right? 2 minutes and 30 seconds. In between each at bat, the clock goes back up for like, what, 30 seconds, I believe?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what that does?
No.
Absolutely nothing. It does nothing. All it does is tell me that there's 30 seconds. Because, you know, what I noticed from watching, obviously, we know when you're at the park that 2 minutes and 30 seconds is a commercial break. If you decide to get up during that 2 minutes and 30 seconds to go bathroom, concession, do anything, chances are you're not going to make it back before that happens. You're just not. The 30 seconds in between each at bat, so let's just say it's a ground ball to, you know, short, quick 6-3, and we're done. You know, the first baseman throws it over to short back to the second baseman, to the third baseman, third baseman hands it off to the pitcher. The amount of time that takes and for the pitcher to get set is exactly the same as it has been since I started watching baseball. I'm sure just for you, you know, same for you. So now the pitcher gets the ball with, you know, maybe like 7 seconds left. The batter steps in the box. Okay, he steps in the box. Maybe he doesn't like the way he steps in. He can step right back out and then step back in again. So it hasn't improved the pace of the game anymore. You know, yeah, I think taking out the four pitches on the base on balls, all that really does is help out the team throwing the pitches. You know, obviously you get to save those four pitches. And then there's no chance for error. It doesn't happen all the time, but, you know, we've seen it. So it's just a nice, quick thing. But that doesn't change the pace of the game. It doesn't make it any quicker. I've noticed so far from watching the times of these games is the games that are one-run games, meaning like one, 3 runs total between two teams, might hit 3 hours. But any game that scores more than 3 runs is going to go over 3 hours. And you cannot shorten the length of a rally. You know, I believe with Boston, Dylan Day came in, and I think he gave up 6 runs in 1 inning. Okay, you have that 30-second clock. You have the 2 minutes and 30 seconds in between innings. That didn't shorten anything. You know, you're going to make the guys run faster. You can't do that. So, you know, we're going to continue to hear these pace of players and trying to speed up the game. And what Rob Manfred has done to help speed up the game, nothing's going to change. Absolutely nothing's going to change. And I wonder how long before everyone's just going to realize that it's shut the hell up. Because the game is going to be the game. And the only way you can shorten the game is to move it to 7 innings. But you and I both talked about this. Last call is at the end of the 7th inning. So now you're telling me that the owners are going to lose out on beer sales at the end of the 5th inning? I don't think so.
Yeah, no, there's no way they're going to, you know, going to do anything like that. You know, it's like when they talk about, you know, we want to shorten the season in any sport. Well, you know, the owners, you know, how are you going to make, you know, you're going to shorten the season, but you want the players want to be paid the same, but yet you expect the owners to take the hit by giving away gate receipts for games. So,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, you know, you and I talked about it for baseball. I do think maybe this would only be to expand, you know, the wild card. I think you could shorten the season, you know, 8 games or so. But that's just to add on to the playoffs so that we're not going into December.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about it. I mean, how many times here? I don't know if there's, you know, a reasonable solution, you know, to make games faster. You know, you and I have been over it how many times? I mean, there's, you know, what else you can do. I mean, I, you know, obviously the intentional walk thing was okay. You know, it's a good idea, but you know, there aren't just that many intentional walks. So,
no, and I mean, I'd love to have Manfred on and talk about where did that come from and why did you think that that's going to make the game any better? I mean, is it because a handful of highly touted, paid, what do we call them, broadcast, you know, media members complained about it, so he wanted to appease them? Because, I mean, it didn't really do anything. It didn't make the game any quicker. It didn't make the game any better. It's just, I mean, you eliminated the most minor thing you could eliminate. And aside from that, nothing's gonna make it quicker. I mean, when they added the instant replay, that extended the pace of the play because they haven't figured out the system. And I mean, it doesn't take a genius to say, but you know, especially after the first year, I mean, the way you and I look at it, okay, let's just say you have 8 games a day at the most, whether it's 8 or 9. You have your studio in Connecticut or New York, wherever it is, and now you have an umpire studio where there's 8 guys employed to simply watch the game. And the second that they see a controversial call, they should be pulling that up and checking it out instantly, regardless of the manager, you know, calls it or not. Because if the manager decides to go, yes, we want to do the replay, 30 seconds later, that umpire in the booth, you know, will have it already judged. I mean, that's another thing. Each team should employ an an instant replay guy. And they should have a little red button next to the dugout, you know, right where the bench coach is or something. Then you get the little vibration. Yep, that's challenge.
Yeah, now how long did the game take while you were there?
It was like a 7-10 pitch, and it was the bottom of the eighth with 2 outs, and we decided to kind of take off after getting 10 days batted, I think it was, or Pedroia, I can't remember exactly, but it was already 10:30. And then the top of the ninth, I think, was pretty quick when I watched it when I got home yesterday. I mean, you know, I haven't even checked the times yet because I've been so exhausted. I'm still trying to, you know, catch up. So I haven't looked at it. But I mean, you're looking at almost a 3.5-hour game, almost 4 hours.
Well, that's not too bad.
No, it wasn't too bad at all.
Now, I know you were saying you didn't think you'd go back. Do you think you'll get a chance to go back with your wife's job, or was that it?
That may be it. You know, I would love to go back and, you know, maybe in the next 10 years. But my, you know, following the American dream, going back to school to further my education, it didn't really help me do anything but acquire a massive amount of students.
You forgot to add again in that when you said going back to school.
What did you say?
You forgot to add again back in there when you were going back to school. Okay, so now you've been to Boston. Obviously, you live in Chicago. You've been to, a game in Arizona, Pittsburgh, Kansas City. You've been around. Is Boston the most expensive place you've been so far?
I still think San Francisco is really expensive. So those two really high up there. My room was.
You know, and are they? You know, because. You know, because we always say, you know, it's expensive here in Chicago. Obviously, they're all major metropolitan cities. Are they comparable, or are the prices in, you know, like San Francisco or Boston a lot higher compared to Chicago, or are they all kind of within each other, I guess you'd say?
They're all within each other. So, I mean, you know, I think the difference, though, with the Cubs this year, World Series winners, those tickets have just gone way up. So I sat in the grandstand, which you'll like this, Big Jack. They are the original seats that were put in back in, like, what, 1912 or whatever when it opened. So that is nothing but 2x4s and steel. Or not 2x4s, but basically. And then, but, you know, with it being Baltimore, I guess not a high-ranking game, the tickets were a little bit cheaper. So I would almost compare it to maybe a Cubs versus a Reds game.
And it was what? It was you got to see Boston and Pittsburgh, right?
No, Boston and Baltimore.
Oh, Boston and Baltimore. Okay, I thought the Pirates were there when you were there. So I think they're there now.
Yeah, they're doing their makeup game.
Yeah, well, at least you got a good matchup, you know.
But, you know, it was pretty cool. Panda didn't do a whole lot, but, I mean, that place just is intense. It's a lot of fun. Everyone's a Boston fan. You know, there was Oriole fans scattered throughout, but you saw a lot of that red.
Saw some John Lennon. Now, where's your, you know, now that you're checking these off, where's your next destination?
If we can manage it. I want to L.A.
Ah.
But we may have
for
to
the Dodgers? For the wait for the Dodgers or the Angels?
Well, if I would have said the Angels, I would have said the Los Angeles and Anaheim.
Well, maybe you could do both.
Yeah, you never know.
So.
Yeah, but it would be nice.
You know,
to
all right, well,
LA Coliseum.
You know, we are rolling on baseball here. We do have three finals already from today, and oddly, one of them is the Red Sox. They beat the Pirates 4-3. Matt Barnes got a win. Juan Nicasio took the loss, and Craig Kimbrel got the save. The Twins roughed up the Tigers 11-5 today. Phil Hughes got the win. Jordan Zimmerman took the loss, and Justin Haley got a save there. I'd like to know if anybody has them in their yearly fantasy league. And then, of course, locally here, the Cubs beat the Dodgers 4-0. Brett Anderson gets the win, and Hyun-Jin Ryu takes the loss for the Dodgers. So there you go. We got a couple games rolling along right now. Actually, it looks like one just went final. The Rangers beat the Angels 8-3, and the White Sox currently have a 7-1 lead on the Indians heading into the bottom of the second inning.
I took a gamble because I needed another pitcher, and I was like, well, you know, the Twins have been doing pretty all right. So I went with Phil Hughes, and he got me a win today.
There you go. So, and here's the rest of the roster for today. These games haven't started. Tampa Bay's at New York. It's Matt Andreese against Luis Severino. The Orioles are at the Blue Jays. It's Kevin Gausman against Francisco Liriano. The Brewers are at the Reds. It's Jimmy Nelson against Bronson Arroyo. The Mets are at the Marlins. Robert Gesselman against Wei Ying Chen. The A's are at the Royals. Jesse Hahn against Jason Vargas. And, of course, the night wraps up Colorado at San Francisco. John Gray against Madison Bumgarner. So there you go.
That's a big question. Now, if the season were to end today.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a horrible. The Reds would win the NL Central. I mean, like I said, it's way too early to judge anything. I mean, the White Sox were the best team in Major League Baseball last April. Next to the Cubs, I don't remember how that went, but Cincinnati is up 7-2. That's pretty interesting. Do you think they're sustainable?
You know how it is. A lot has to do with your scheduling. They have some flashes. I mean, they brought that Amir Garrett up. He jumped from AA right to the majors, and he's had two real good outings, but. You kind of look at, I mean, it's impressive that they swept Pittsburgh. I thought Pittsburgh was going to be better than they were. They're really kind of scuffling. But, you beat the Phillies 2 out of 3. While I think the Phillies are going to improve, that's not that big a deal. And even taking 2 or 3 from the Cardinals, it's just so early. You can't bank on these. Now, they're going into a 4-game series with the Brewers. We'll see. I mean, will the Brewers pop up and show what they can do? Or, there's a chance the Reds could go in there and win 3 out of 4.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely helps on your division team. And, total this month, they had Milwaukee for 7. They have 3 more with St. Louis, and then they've got the Cubs for 3 next weekend.
Yeah, and I believe they've got a series coming up, an interleague series with the Orioles, who are off to a pretty good start. There'll be some tests there for the Reds after they threw Milwaukee. And, we'll see. I mean, if they can stand up to Baltimore, they can stand up to Chicago. But like you said, the White Sox hung around for – I think it was 2 months last year as one of the better teams in the American League before they just flattened out. And you got to wonder, will the Reds do the same thing? But that's like I laugh. I saw you tweeted out the article. Somebody actually did power rankings for the first week for the teams. And it's just kind of like, well, how could you tell anything from – 5 games. What did 5 games show you? I mean, I don't even know if teams were through their rotations yet. So,
yeah,
you know, but I guess, you know. You know, it's like you said, guys need to write articles, and they've got to kind of do what, you know, they have going on. So, it's just one of those things we got to deal with.
Now, but speaking of standing, the NBA is, I guess, over with. And if Cleveland is afraid of Chicago in 7 games, will they nestle down to the second seed?
You're breaking up real bad here. I couldn't hear what you were talking about there.
Talking about Boston clinching the number one seed in the East.
Oh God! Okay, we're gonna go over. Yeah. Well, you know Cleveland decided it was more important to rest the guys than it was to be the number one seed. I don't think it mattered either matchup. They should beat Indiana. They would have beaten the Bulls. I've heard all the I actually heard somebody on the radio while I was driving to work this morning. Now, you got to realize it takes me 6 minutes to get to work, but yet I managed to hear this guy on overnight sports talk saying that the Cavaliers intentionally dropped to the second spot because they wanted to avoid the Bulls in the first round because the Bulls swept them this year. So, yeah, that's where the thinking goes. But I did find it odd. I have so many questions that you need to answer for me, Dan. You know, last night the Bulls played the Brooklyn Nets. And the Nets decided to sit 6 guys. Now, they listed 3 of them as injured, and the other 3 they put down as they wanted to rest them. Dan, it was the last game of the year. What were they resting them for?
For a better draft position?
They already had the worst record in the league. Even if they would have won, they still would have had the worst record in the league.
Like Miami, so they didn't want them to get a chance.
Well, you know, I thought maybe, you know, Brooke Lopez is on the Nets and his brother Robin plays for the Bulls. So I thought maybe Brooke went to the Nets and said, hey, I want to see my brother in the playoffs. Can we do this? So, yeah, the Nets actually sat their 4 top scorers last night and then went out and put up 73 points against the Bulls and lost by 39. They gave the Bulls the 8th seed. Now, you know, if I'm Miami, I got to tell you, Dan, I'm a little upset about this because they basically took any shot away from me making the playoffs before the games even started. There was no way the Bulls were going to lose to a shorthanded Brooklyn Nets team like that, even as bad as the Bulls have been.
Below 500 teams.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Miami went out and did their job. They beat the Wizards, you know, and the Pacers got their win last night. So everybody who had to win won, or like the Pacers win 2 nights ago, I'm trying to remember what it was. But, I know Atlanta was resting some guys, and I think Washington rested some guys. But, you know, they were locked into their playoff spot, so I think they earned that. But when, you know, I heard yesterday that Brooklyn was going to sit 6 guys and they were only going to suit up 8 players, it was just like, really, this is what we're going to do.
Well, I mean, if I was a coach, I would have, you know, came out and said, oh, you know, these are my 8 guys that don't get all the playing time. I want to evaluate them against a, you know, playoff contending team. And is there any more puns that I can give? I can't think of any more else.
Yeah.
My head right now.
But, yeah, so, you know, coming into the playoffs, you know, LeBron has had a week off. But he should be fully rested. The Cleveland Cavaliers actually open up. They play the first playoff game on Saturday. They have the 2 o'clock game against the Pacers. Then we get to see the Bucks are at the Raptors. That's game two. And then we go out west Saturday night for a couple games. We get Memphis at San Antonio, and Utah is at Los Angeles. That would be the Clippers because the Lakers didn't make the playoffs. All those games are on well, let me see, double check. The first game is on ABC, but the other three are on the Mickey Mouse Network. And then on Sunday, the rest of the series open up. We get Atlanta at Washington to start. That's a TNT game. Then we go back over to ABC for Portland at Golden State. And then the final two games, the Bulls at the Celtics and then the Thunder at the Rockets are TNT games. So that's what we're going to get this weekend out of the NBA.
I mean, I'm just looking at them. I think the – and I could be wrong, but I think the game's a pretty solid matchup where you might not know which way it's going to go. It would be the Washington-Atlanta series and the Houston-OKC. I think both of those can go.
Yeah, you know – you know, for whatever reason, Memphis always gives San Antonio some problems, but I think in the end, San Antonio win. You know, Utah and the Clippers were really even this season, so, you know, I don't know what we're going to get out of that. But other than that, I think, like, Oklahoma City, Houston could be really good. But, like, I don't think any of the higher seeds in the East are going to even be challenged unless they just play horrible. You know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, Cleveland, Toronto, Washington, and Boston all sweep. So, you know, it could be interesting, you know, like, you know, maybe Milwaukee steals a game from Toronto or maybe two, because I know Toronto has a tendency to really choke in the playoffs at times. Even though I did hear somebody today say they're the team. If anybody's going to knock off Cleveland, it's going to be Toronto. I don't buy that at all. If anybody's going to knock off Cleveland, it's going to be the Wizards. So, we'll see how that goes. But I think Washington's the only team with a shot to beat Cleveland in the East.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think you and I will kind of, I don't know, the way the NBA playoffs went, and we kind of got into it a little bit more last year, I think you'd say. And I don't think either one of us was that impressed. I don't want to say impressed, but it just kind of, you had me pick, and, you know, the only ones I ever got wrong was because you're like, are you going to go out of the limb on this one? I'm like, yeah, what the hell?
Yeah.
The dark horse is going to be this one. And, of course, you know, of course that team didn't win. So, I mean, I think we'll probably just touch on them every, you know, week and talk about when Draymond Green kicks people in the balls and when LeBron gets elbowed by his own teammates and, you know, gets the technical. But I don't know. But I think what was a little disappointing last night is if you have Comcast and you have the app uploaded on your smart TV or whatever, they weren't letting me stream it. Kept saying I have too many apps open when I didn't have any NBC Sports apps open. So I couldn't stream any of the games in the bedroom. And oddly, I was trying to watch the Cubs game, but ABC, when I went to the app, it said live MLB baseball. And when I clicked on it, it was like some home decorating show, so I had to watch it on my iPad because we were both just exhausted laying in bed. So it was a weird night last night, but the Hawks open up with the Predators tonight. How do you think that's going to go?
Yeah, well, you know, it's the NHL, so who knows? You know, I mean, you know, the way these games go, anybody could beat anyone. You know, we had four series open up last night. The Rangers shut out the Canadiens 2-0. I believe that was in Montreal. And then Boston beat Ottawa 2-1. I believe that game was in Ottawa. You know, Pittsburgh was, I believe, the only home team to win last night. They beat Columbus 3-1. St. Louis beat Minnesota 2-1 in overtime. And San Jose beat Edmonton 3-2 in overtime. I believe San Jose was home. So two out of the five home teams won. The other three series open tonight. We got Toronto at Washington. You'll have to go to USA to watch that game, Dan. It's on the USA Network. Then it's Nashville at Chicago. That's on the NBC Sports Network. And then the night wraps up with Calgary at Anaheim. That's also on the NBC Sports Network. You know, you ask me, I expect the Blackhawks to beat Nashville. It may take six games because this is the NHL, but I expect Chicago to beat them.
2 years ago, would you have expected that? I don't know. I felt like this
you know, I don't know
better if 2 years ago.
I don't know if I would have stuck to it last year. Did they meet in the playoffs last year? You know, Chicago seems to have found its groove, kind of. They've kind of figured out who they are, and I think that's bad for everybody else. The key, of course, like any NHL series, which goaltender is going to play better? You know, will Corey Crawford outplay, what is it, Pekka Rinne still? Is he the Predators goaltender? I believe so.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, that's kind of how those things always, you know, break down. You know, you get the team with the hot goaltender who makes a run, and, you know, you're kind of looking, going, wait, why is this eighth seed still playing? But it's because of goaltending and defense. But, yeah, I think it has the chance to be a really good, really fun series to watch, you know, just like a lot of these. I mean, I'm interested to see Austin Matthews and the Maple Leafs against Washington. You know, Toronto hasn't been to the playoffs in a long time. You know, just like I was sad last night, the Edmonton-San Jose game was on just way too late for me. But I would have loved to see Connor McDavid in a 3-2 in overtime. Sounds like a pretty good game. So, you know, luckily some of these games are coming up on the weekend here. I'll be able to watch it. But, yeah, you know, it's nice to see these young guys, you know, get out there. And, you know, sadly, slowly but surely, they're going to knock, you know, guys like Ovi and Crosby and Kane. You know, these guys are going to knock those guys off. So we'll have to see how that goes. But, you know, a couple of them are getting a taste of it now. And, you know, I'm just hoping it's a good game tonight. And, you know, I'd like to see the Blackhawks win like 5-0 just so I don't have to worry. But you know that's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
So, you know, that'll be – as a matter of fact, you know, the Toronto-Washington game may have already started. It was a 6 o'clock start on the USA Network. So they may be up and skating right now. But, yeah, you know, it should be – I mean, do you – now – Will Nashville let Chicago fans in, Dan, when the series shifts over there on, be it what, Monday or whatever, Tuesday?
I think it'll be more secondhand sales if they do, because they've been pretty good about blocking out Blackhawks fans. I mean, if you were to go there's nothing but yellow there. I mean, I don't know. I think they're all pretty loyal because that is the only pro sport, you know, in Nashville. I mean, you've got the Nashville Sounds, but that's, I don't remember what level of MLB they are, minor league. But, I mean, the game I went to, granted they were going out against Philly, and this was a couple of years ago, you didn't see anything but yellow. So it was all that, you know, sorry, but they need a new graphic designer or some kind of redesign to get them some coolness, some cool points added to their style. But I am sure you'll see Blackhawks fans down there, but it'll be secondary market because I know if you try to buy tickets to – oh, I'm sorry, they've got the Titans. How can I forget about the Titans? Oh, that's right. When you try to buy tickets to either one of those games, they make you put in your zip code.
Yeah. So it comes up as Illinois?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know if that means they charge you more or they – try to, you know, section you out so you don't get a group. Which, you know, I do have to touch on that for a second. Monday night's opener. I'm a Cubs fan. Still love the Dodgers. I love baseball all around, more so than anything. But I thought it was pretty cool that a group of Dodger fans rented out the one rooftop. You know, you really don't see that. So I just thought that was pretty awesome that one group of, you know, Dodger fans rented out one rooftop. So that was pretty cool. But you know, I think we'll see a few Blackhawk fans in Nashville, but not as much as you'd like to see.
All right, now what do you think of this? You know, last night, as a matter of fact, I was right. That game was in Edmonton. What the Oilers did, Dan, is last night you could have bought a ticket for $80, all right, $80, that gave you what they call concourse access. You didn't get a seat. All you did was you were just allowed to walk around the concourse, obviously, you know, drinking beer or eating or soda and watching the games on the little TV. But technically, you were at the game. This sounds like a pretty genius idea for a way for a team to sell some extra tickets. Do you see this catching on?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, I've never been there, but what do we call it? The Madhouse in Madison. They've got specific sections where there's a bar, and then right around there, there's the standing room only. So, I mean, it's not all the way up there in the boxes that Mr. Fantasy fits in, but it's right there. You know, I think it's behind the goals on each end. It's a pretty nice little setup they have going on there, and you know, they've got little right across from there, they have a bar area too, so where you could just kind of sit and hang out and watch the game there. So, I mean, there's a lot of people that like to be just a part of the experience, so to speak. I don't know. I wouldn't spend $80 to stand around. $80 to spend another $80.
You know, this is something you and I have had a lot of experience with. But the Oilers run a 50-50 raffle, just like a lot of places we used to do run 50-50 raffles. And last night, the winning prize was $336, $336,995 Canadian, or $254,640 American. Not a bad take for a 50-50 raffle, huh? I don't think I've ever won more than $20 in the 50-50 raffle. So I got a kick out of seeing that when I saw it. It was won by a David and Tanya, I'm guessing this is pronounced Eisen, I-D-Z-A-N. So there you go.
I mean, do you take the Canadian and then hope that American dollars kind of devalue somewhere down the line?
Well, I guess it doesn't say where they live because it was in Edmonton, so maybe they live in Canada. So,
yeah.
Maybe they just take the Canadian anyways. But I just thought it was funny when I saw the total because, you know, I'm so used to dealing with it. You know, if we would sell, you know, $100 in 50-50 raffles, it was a huge thing. So,
yeah, it's even worse when you're in your gear and you've got your own family telling you you need to buy raffle tickets.
Yes.
Hey, lady,
yes, that's always wonderful. But yeah, I thought that was a cool story there when I saw that. I thought it was pretty funny. But it does lead me to something. I know we got about 10 minutes left here, and I wanted to cover this with you. I know we don't talk much wrestling here, but it's something you and I both used to do on the indie level. Now, recently, at the big level, at WWE, they had hired an announcer by the name of Mario Ranallo. And he was working on their SmackDown Live brand. And then he just kind of disappeared. I think it was about a month ago or so. He just vanished. And, you know, they tried to cover it up with, you know, he had an illness and, you know, this kind of stuff. And apparently he does have a bipolar disorder. But the reason he stopped going to work, Dan, is he was being bullied by John Bradshaw Layfielder on the announce table. They just call him JBL, who's one of his former announcer, a former wrestler. He's been an announcer for WWE for a very long time. You know, he's a Hall of Famer, but this is his reputation. He's a bully. Now, you know, in this culture, Dan, you know, it when Layfield was a star and it was years ago, this was part of the wrestling business. Well, you know, we have a new culture now, Dan, where bullying is basically just forbidden. You know, I mean, I was bullied as a kid. I know you were. It's just kind of how we grew up. Well, that's no longer acceptable. How does WWE address this, Dan? I mean, you know, they're going to have to jump up and say something, right? I mean, basically this guy, Layfield cost this guy his job because he won't go to work.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like they had John Cena doing an anti-bullying campaign not too long ago.
Yeah, they actually did. So,
you know, I think even his merchandise had something about not bullying, and you know, you've got to wonder if this is the point where he actually gets fired.
Yeah, because you know there is, you know, like the story I found here. It says WWE is apparently trying to work on a settlement with Mauro Ranallo, so he doesn't speak about this publicly. So it kind of looks like they're just going to try to sweep it under the table. And the campaign you're thinking about, Dan, WWE ran a campaign called Be a Star, which is an anti-bullying organization run by the WWE.
So it'll be like that Be Gay for the Job thing with what's-his-name back
yes.
in the day. Just cover it up.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, now do you assume that is this going to be their route? They're going to try to pay this guy off and get him to shut up so it doesn't come out? Or, you know, are we going to see JBL doing, 30-second drops for this bullying organization about, you know, how not to bully people?
That one's a good one. I mean, they did have the truth, Ron, I forgot his last name, doing anti-smoking ads when he quit smoking, if you remember that. So, honestly, I think they'll just try to pay this guy off and get him not to talk about it. Let's be honest, the WWE's really good at that.
Yeah, because now, you know, JBL is in good with Vince McMahon. Obviously, Vince McMahon is the owner of the company. He likes him very much. So I'm assuming this is the route they're going to go. But I guess Ranallo has actually been contacted by other wrestlers who had the same type of bullying stories about JBL, but they were always afraid to say something because, you know, they've got a good job. They don't want to burn that bridge with the WWE because that's the best place to make money in the wrestling business.
Well, it's the only place.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you can, if you want to go overseas, there are, you know, you can go to All Japan or places like that, you know, you can still make some money at. Obviously, you'd be away from your family, you know, in a different country. So, you know, it's one of those things. But, you know, and I mean, I know from a story when WWE was in California, this is when Kali was still training, the great Kali, and they were going to use him as a little legitimate monster before he became a dancer and a womanizer and all that gimmick stuff he went through. they were working with him in the ring, and they were using the guys from a local indie fed, and a good friend of mine just happened to be training there. He was living in California at the time, and for some reason, one of the trainees decided he wanted to try to make a name for himself, and he wouldn't bump for Kali. Now, Kali was a foot taller than this guy and probably 150 pounds heavier, and he wasn't selling or bumping for the guy. So the guy's reward was WWE booked him in a match as a jobber against JBL, who literally just beat the crap out of the guy. So, you know, this is just, you know, now that used to happen all the time back in the day. If somebody acted up, you got put in the ring with, the term is actually hooker, but it's not the kind of hooker you're thinking of. It's a guy who is a legitimate tough guy, and he can go in there and just, you know, defend himself at any cost. So, you know, that's how it used to be done. That's how you were taught lessons when you acted up in the wrestling business. They don't do that anymore, but that's how it used to be. And I know we, you know, a place you and I used to work, there was a gentleman who, you know, we won't really say too many names, but we'll just use his first name as Rick, who thought he was a tough guy and wasn't. So that was always kind of funny when he thought he could go out there and hook with guys and just was a joke. But, yeah, you know, the question has come up a lot, Dan, and now I'm starting to hear it mainstream if it's time for WWE to address this. You know, this is a, you know, this is a company that is pushed towards kids. Yeah. You know, can they, you know, obviously it looks like they're going to try to bury this one. But is there anything they can do to save face, or do they have to try something else?
Well, no, I think the other thing you have to take into consideration too is, I mean, the fact that they're going to have to do something about it, you know, now that it's kind of coming to light, because let's not forget, Linda McMahon is now, you know, the head of the small business organization under Trump. So, you know, once everyone starts to hear about that, then she's going to get some backlash. I mean, because there was some kind of conference she was at, and I, you know, I laughed at it, but some, you know, representative of some other state, you know, this was a serious thing. And he goes, you know, my constituents and I really want to know, Ms. McMahon, what took John Cena so long to ask her to marry him? So, I mean, whether you know, watch it or you like it or not, WWE it's definitely, I don't think it's hit the NFL kind of status, but it's pretty much fabric of America, and you can't get away from it. And with her being on that board, I mean, let's not forget when she started her political run, that's when they stopped doing Playboy shoots for the divas.
Yeah, well, they, you know, since she started trying to run for office, you know, they went away. Remember, that was the Attitude Era, and it was, you know, it was much more sexualized, and it was much more violent. you know, but yeah, once she started running for office and that kind of stuff, they went away from all that. So, you know, I'm interested to see how they kind of try to handle this. But I got a feeling that they're just going to not address it and try to make it go away.
Oh, yeah. And deny it. JBL is good at denying stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, he's going to, you know, if he was to be questioned, or, you know, I'm sure they've told him not to talk to anybody about it, or, you know, any of that stuff. So, you know, will be interesting, you know, because I actually turned on the start of it to see if the guy was there this week, and he wasn't there again, and then I read that. So we'll have to see. But all right, well, it seems that Dan and I are taking off. We're going to take Good Friday off because technically it's a holiday for some of you. So Mr. Fantasy and I will be here Sunday morning for 2 big hours. Putting together some FanDuel lineups for you, but you know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out all the cool stuff over there. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Jump on and follow the Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. As always, thanks for listening live, and hopefully by Sunday this cold will be gone. I won't have to deal with it anymore. But don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.